I'm not actually old enough to know that song. Good morning. It's great to be here to worship the Lord. And yeah, if you don't know me, my name's Carl. I'm 23 years old. I'm engaged to Katya, who's here today. I'm in my final year of studying a master's in architecture, and apparently I need a haircut. If you want to know anything else, ask me at the end of the service. When I was told I'd be doing the talk today, I said, on one condition, I want lots of light and I want lots of flowers, and you've done a good job there. But of course, this week we've had many celebrations. We've had a wedding, we've had birthdays, and of course, it's Christmas. And it's only a few weeks away. Where has the year gone? Maybe you're still preparing gifts. I know somebody in particular who always has their presents done by the 1st of January for the following year. If you're anything like me, you leave it all until Christmas Eve. But over the past few weeks, the Lord's been talking to me about gifts. And Christmas is that time of year when we come to celebrate the greatest gift mankind has ever received. But Christmas presents take time to prepare. First, you have to find the right present, and then there's the time it takes to wrap, and then there's maybe a certain way you actually want to give it to the person. So today, we're going to look at how God prepared his present to us. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 1. Here, we hear about a man called Zechariah. More than anything, he and his wife, Elizabeth, desired a child. So I'm just going to read from verse 5 to 10. In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. So verse 5 tells us that Zechariah was a priest who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah, one of 24 divisions established by Moses and Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were both righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But despite this, despite doing everything right in God's eyes, we find out that Elizabeth is unable to conceive, and they are both very old, so the chances of having a child had long passed them. At that time, a woman who could not bear her husband a child was considered a disgrace and under God's judgment. Also, Elizabeth's failure to provide Zechariah with a son to carry on the family name was cause for a divorce. But we can see here that Zechariah is clearly a man who loves his wife regardless of having a child, because they've been together so long. Verse 9 says Zechariah was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Now, I've said this before many times, but I, for one, don't believe in chance. I believe in a God who is in control and a God who has a plan for his people. So, from my understanding, Zechariah is chosen by God to enter the temple and burn incense. While he is in there, an angel appears to him. One of 24 divisions, probably of several priests, chosen by lot. The likelihood is actually that a priest may only get the chance to burn incense in the temple once in his life, or maybe never in his life. Verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What wonderful news that must have been. Can you imagine the joy Zechariah would have had hearing those words? The child he had prayed for so long is finally being given to him, and he will be a delight. He'll sleep from 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. He'll eat without fussing. His nappy will never get dirty. He's just an absolute blessing. But this baby was part of a greater plan. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't just a gift to Zechariah and Elizabeth. He was a gift to all, to make ready a people to receive the greater gift that was to come. John's job was to highlight the problem. Jesus' job was to fix the problem. He told us that it's not okay to steal, it's not okay to lie, it's not okay to commit adultery. But in actuality, God always had a plan. Ever since Adam and Eve committed the first sin, everything could be building up to the moment that Jesus Christ was born. But, and this is what amazes me most about Zechariah, in verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news, and now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." It's so easy for us to doubt. One example is a great testimony. A friend of mine was told, or believed that God told him to travel all the way to India because he had a wife there for him. And he went to my friend's house and said, "Right, I'm traveling to India, and just you wait, in 6 weeks I'll be back with a bride." And to our amazement, he did. And he's still happily married with a child. That is a great step of faith. But if God had said that to me, two things would happen. Number one, Katya would kill me. And two, so many doubts would come to my mind. "God, you want me to pack up everything and travel to India to meet a woman I don't even know to be my bride? It sounds crazy." Another example Lee gave to me about moving house. You know, the sale's gone through, but still there's doubts of, what if they pull out? What if somebody makes a better offer? Have we heard God correctly? Is this where he wants us to live? But even Zechariah, a priest, a man righteous in God's eyes, had received a message delivered by no other than Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and he did not believe. It's crazy how we can have the proof right there in front of us and still not believe. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. In verse 24, after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Several months later, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, a young girl, probably no more than 14 years of age, in Nazareth, a town in Galilee. "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor in God's eyes. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. Sounds familiar. since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." No word will ever fail. Do you believe that? Let us hold on to those words. Words like, "I will never leave you or forsake you. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and you shall glorify me. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Do you believe those words? Because a very reliable source told Zechariah that no word from God will ever fail. We live in a challenging world with an enemy who is trying to fool us into thinking God is not capable, that he's not capable to heal, that he's not capable to save, but do not be fooled. We have a God who has defeated death itself. Anything is possible for God if we would just believe. Look at Mary's response. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. For no word from God will ever fail. And it was fulfilled. It's incredibly ironic that Gabriel appeared to two people, one of who doubted because they were too old, and the other doubted because they were too young. Maybe you're here today thinking you're too old to serve God, but these words say otherwise. Be you child, teen, parent, or pensioner, God still wants to use you and bless you for his kingdom's glory. The question is, are you willing to serve? Are you a willing servant like Mary? I wonder if the Lord appeared and tasked us with an important mission right now, who here would accept? Who would pretend not to notice? And who would tell them to just simply go away? Think about that. This past week, Katya had a parcel sent to our house. Actually, she had a lot of parcels sent to our house. But this one in particular has come all the way from Tokyo in Japan. It's very precious to Katya. And the reason they do get sent to ours is because there's usually always somebody there to answer the door. But on this particular day, nobody answered the door. So of course, as I'm sure you've all experienced, you get a little red slip which says, "We tried to deliver it on such and such a day." And then if it wasn't signed for, which this had to be, it went straight back to the depot. Now, that's just a nightmare in itself. But it says on it, "If you do not pick up your parcel within X amount of days, 18 in this case, it will be returned to sender." God sent his son, a fragile baby boy, to be our savior, who would take away the sins of the world. And of course, we too have been sent to be witnesses to those around us. And very soon we will return to the sender. This is not all there is. We'll be called home eventually. Christmas has actually only just become celebrated in Japan. And when a news team went over, they asked a woman there, "Why do you celebrate Christmas?" And her response was, "I don't know. Wasn't it the day Jesus died?" There's some truth in those words. Let us not forget what this season is really about. We've been given a great gift sent by God himself, but outside this building, there are people who don't even know there's a gift with their name on it. There are others who've been told about Jesus but just haven't received him. Ultimately, the time will come when the chance to receive that gift is taken away. And if you leave here today not knowing who Jesus is, then you will ultimately have missed out on the most important gift of your life. When you leave here today, take the gift of salvation with you. And when you think about giving your presents to others this Christmas, maybe think about forgiveness or apologizing to somebody if you've done wrong or tell somebody you love them. Not all gifts are nicely wrapped with a nice price tag. And to close, I'll leave you with a Christmas story. Once upon a Christmas Eve, a man sat in reflective silence before the fireplace, pondering the meaning of Christmas. "There is no point to a God who becomes man," he mused. "Why would an all-powerful God want to share even one of his precious moments with the likes of man? And even if he did, why would he choose to be born in a stable? No way, the whole thing's absurd. I'm sure that if God really wanted to come down to earth, he would have chosen some other way." Suddenly, the man was distracted by a strange sound outside. He went to the window and saw a small gaggle of geese frantically honking and aimlessly flopping around in the snow. They seemed dazed and confused. Apparently, they were migrating and had dropped out from exhaustion from the flight. So moved to compassion, the man tried to shoo these poor geese into his warm garage. But the more he shooed, the more they panicked. "If only they realized I'm trying to do what's best for them," he thought to himself. "How can I make them understand my concern for their well-being?" Then this thought came to him. "If for just one moment I could become one of them, an ordinary goose, and communicate with them in their own language, they would know what I'm trying to do." Suddenly, he remembered Christmas and a smile came over his face. He remembered that little ordinary infant lying in a manger in the stable in Bethlehem, and he knew the answer to his Christmas problem. God had become one of us to tell us that he loves us. If you're here today because a friend has invited you, then ask them, go up to them and say, "How do I receive this gift?" If you're here for the first time, speak to one of the elders. They'll answer any of your questions. Life is fleeting. You don't know when we will be called home. This moment, maybe 5 minutes from now, maybe 5 years from now, 50 years from now. But the time is coming when this gift will be gone. Do not leave here today without receiving it. Amen.